Hey, welcome to the Foster Fathers Podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Kyle.
And this is a podcast all about foster care, adoption, and fatherhood.
We hope that you feel welcome. We hope that you feel that you belong. And we're glad that you're here to share this time with us.
Let's go. Hey, welcome to the Foster Fathers Podcast. My name's Chris.
I'm Kyle.
And welcome. Thanks for hanging out. Maybe you are here for the first time. We want to welcome you and thank you for tuning in. And prepare yourself for two uneducated individuals with some experience. You know how when you get a job or you're applying for a job and you may not have the credentials, but you got the experience?
Yeah.
That's us.
It's a very positive outlook. I love your optimism.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's just got to justify my insecurities.
I got to pretend like I'm worth something.
Yeah.
No, dude, it's good.
No, it's been great. Honestly, it's been really cool. This is just, we're talking about it. It's slowly growing, and that's all we can ask for. So
yeah.
If you've been listening for a while, thanks for listening. If you're here for the first time.
And thanks. We're growing. We're figuring out.
We're figuring this out.
How to talk, how to think, how to communicate our ideas,
have some fun.
I think it's getting funner.
Yeah. Funner's not a word. That's one thing we'll work on.
Getting more fun. Wow, thanks. You're like my...
I don't know that it's not a word, to be honest.
You're right. I think it's properly used as more fun.
Yeah. I don't really care. All right. Talk to me about This Week in Foster Care, sir.
This one, I got a wild one left field. This Week in Foster Care is overexposed children.
Whoa.
And that's
what does that
let
mean?
Me clarify that, because it doesn't make sense quite.
Are you admitting to some?
No, it's 7-year-old kids, 8-year-old kids, 5-year-old kids who have seen more than most adults. Without diving too much into details, one time, I'll get into the second part, but one time I was talking with a coworker, I said, you guys haven't experience near what my kids have experienced, and they're all 7 years and younger. This was back before our oldest turned 8, and he's all, "Oh, you don't know what kind of life I lived." And I just listed a few bullet points of what our kids have seen and experienced, and he goes, "Well, maybe." So anyways, this week,
I mean, that's real, dude.
Get ready for this one.
Hit me.
This is going to be a big one. She used to be really resistant to this type of stuff. Yep. And now she's opening up and is all about it. Anyway, we sit down at dinner. My wife, Jessica, she's over with some friends, at a friend's house, hanging out, having a girl's night. And our 7-year-old says, "Hey, Kyle, you know that when you take the poison sugar cube and you melt it on a spoon, and then you take a shot and you put it in your arm, your hands turn into rainbows and your food, it comes alive."
Just a matter of fact.
Matter of fact.
Whoa.
7 years old, dude. And this girl just explains explicit drug use.
Jeez. That she probably witnessed, right?
Right.
Firsthand.
Right, right. And the fact that she knows, all of these terms, and then the effects of what those drugs have on a human.
That's heavy.
I shared it with a friend, and he's like, gut check. Wow. For me, and it's what we've talked about before, sometimes you don't know how to react, so you kind of just gloss over some of the stuff. So I'm just like, whoa, that's a wild story, not knowing how to process it, not knowing, I mean, how do you respond? How do you possibly respond? Yeah. So it just made me realize, I mean, these kids have seen and experienced some stuff that you, I, most people never, and she's only 7 years old.
That's wild.
So that was a big...
That's you've had rhythms of... normalcy, if you will.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, there's a little like, oh.
Yeah. Yep. Dude, just blindsided by that. And it's a realization, at times, there are behaviors that people say, well, that's just a normal 5-year-old. That's just a normal 4-year-old. That's just, and then stuff like that is, nope.
That's
abnormal. Unique. So anyways, that's this week for me.
That's
man.
Just a small reminder. Hey, we're in the middle of this wild ride.
Yeah. And our kids have experienced a lot of crazy stuff, dude. Yeah.
You should have started. I should have just said it. We don't need to do that.
Yeah, man.
We don't need an E next to our episodes.
Oh, anyways. Man. Asterisk.
Well, hey, we were talking today. Let's get
to it.
Today's subject is something that I thought was pretty cool. So an idea of yours. One thing I wish I knew a year ago.
One thing that I wish I knew 1 year ago.
Yeah. And you know, we've walked different journeys a little bit.
Yes.
But in a lot of ways similar.
Yeah.
There are things that we've learned along the way. You said earlier, as we've kind of getting our feet under us with this podcast, and feel the same way with this life we're somehow walked into. That you're starting to get a little bit more comfortable with moments like you just referenced.
Yeah.
Not comfortable maybe, but ready.
Yeah.
Potentially. It doesn't knock you so far off base as it used to.
Yeah. You know how to respond or it's not entirely unexpected, that type of thing. So, okay, I just got done chatting.
Sure.
You can take it away. One thing that you wished you knew a year ago.
Yeah, I mean,
and it doesn't have to be specific. This can be broad, generic, idyllic, what is something like that?
For me, I wrote down, I asked my wife. My wife had a really good one that she one day will come on this podcast and share for herself. Hers was, you know, you're committed to a case for life. It's not so done right when you think it's done. In our story, that's something that has shown itself that a couple of months or even years or so later, we now have a baby. But,
right. And that's because of your first case. I mean, you wouldn't have had that.
No.
That you wouldn't have had the youngest one without the connection, the biological connection to your adopted daughter. Okay.
But that's a whole good episode, maybe for later. But my answer as me.
Yeah, because you're not Tracy.
I'm not Tracy.
What does Chris wish he knew 1 year ago?
It's not always a straight line. How about that?
baby.
Yeah. And I think.
I like this.
Yeah. I mean, pretty early on in our foster care case, we've had two kids. Two kids via one case, I should really say. And it's not always a straight line. As we started painting out some of the details and seeing things unfold, adoption got on the table for one of those two kids, and reunification was the other side. I've shared this before.
Yeah.
But the second that all started to unfold, I was like, okay, let's go. What's next? Like, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, and that's not foster care. And I was like, okay, so if that's where we're going, like, let's go.
Yeah, right? Let's get there.
Yeah.
Let's get there. Let's wrap it up and move forward.
Yeah, like,
everybody has enough on their plate. Let's cross one thing off.
And a year ago, that was so... maybe I don't know that I was net overly upset at any point in time around that idea, but I was probably frustrated, and I was very like
at not seeing progress.
Yeah,
or it's
like, well, everyone knows what's next.
Yeah.
So why is nothing next? And so that's you know, I know that this has largely been about foster care, but we have good friends that have walked international adoption, and they're sitting there like, everything's done. We've even been matched. And we haven't heard anything, or, you know, and like, it's like, why can't the next thing just happen? And that's a frustrating feeling. And that's something that I think as foster care, you know, the system, I think we've talked about this a couple episodes ago, the system is full of people trying their best. And like, that's a good thing to remember.
There's a lot of red tape.
Yeah. There's a lot of
red tape.
Yeah. And you know,
some for very good reason.
Absolutely. Like the next of kin kind of conversation, I know that's kind of wrapped up by the time adoption becomes on the table, but you just never know.
Yeah.
Because there's always that possibility, at least in our case, that like, hey, like if some random sister comes into the picture, then we got to talk about it.
Entertain that.
Yeah. So you're kind of like, okay, well, we've talked about adoption. They say not to get your heart set on that, but it's pretty hard to not do that. So what's happening? And so then it's just over time. And I think I even referenced this before, when my social worker would come by or my caseworker would come by, we have a great relationship even to this day, but I'm like, here's 37 questions I have because I'm trying to figure out the next thing. And she so graciously answered most of them, all of them as best as she could. But it's also like, what am I doing? What am I looking for? I'm just looking for the next thing to happen. She's like,
something tangible that you can grab onto.
Yeah. And so I think now, in the case we're at now, we have a baby, an adopted daughter. The details are up in the air again. And I'm like waiting for the next, like the last time I talked to their caseworkers, same thing. I was like, hey, good to see you. Here's 36 questions. Yes. She's like, I don't know most of them. And one day changes everything.
Yeah.
And I think in your situation, there are moments that changed the trajectory of the next few weeks in an instant.
Yeah. I have two thoughts.
Yeah.
Number one is, you know, we're rolling into adoption and it had to be 6 months from when the older two came to live with us. So that was in, you know, July, August. And so they said, oh, probably, you know, January, end of January.
Yeah, get used to
end of January.
Get used to loose time frames.
And exactly because of what you guys experienced with your first adoption. I was thinking, yeah, it might be March, you know, and here we are, we're rolling into the end of March and they're all, you know, maybe in the next 30 days we'll know more.
Yeah.
What? I mean, maybe in the next 30 days, could you be any more generic?
I mean, that's the answer we got from our caseworker. Give me 3 months. And that probably does make sense.
Yeah.
In our situation, mom was released. She's like, we kind of get an idea of how they're going to handle real life again in about 3 months.
Yeah.
So she explains that and I go, okay.
And here's my second one, you know, thought on yours was with our first foster daughter, and it was a roller coaster. I mean, you talk about straight line. This thing was a roller coaster, you know, one second mom's, you know, on the straight track doing awesome. Next second you're staring her in the face at the park and she's telling you she's high, you know, and testing negative for a drug test, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, so you're thinking, okay, we're keeping this little girl, you know, and we had a few situations that were back and forth. And I mean, as the story ends, she doesn't live with us anymore. She's back, reunited with her mom. Her mom's doing well, you know, crushing it at her job. Yeah. And you don't know, I think it goes back to what we said. Foster care is, you know, and it's unpredictable, unexpected. Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, as soon as you think, here's the track that we're on, it takes a twist, it takes a turn, dude. Yeah, they nailed it on that. That's huge.
Well, and I say that, and I don't know, maybe I am and I don't realize it, but I don't necessarily find myself seeking to try to control a situation. I'm pretty loose and open-handed and mellow.
Okay.
But I still like to know, like, maybe what to expect. And
I think that is human nature, man. Yeah. That's human nature.
Yeah, and when that happens and maybe you're entering a very heavy case, like, you know, every foster care situation, adoption situation has so many variables. Mm-hmm. So you're thinking through, like, okay, well, how can I navigate these variables as best I can? And my just encouragement out of that one thing is to just buckle up and roll.
Yeah.
Like, don't try and drive your way through this thing, like, maybe a roller coaster is the best analogy. Like, you, at a roller coaster, you just buckle in and enjoy the ride. Enjoy is sometimes the wrong word, maybe, but at the same time, it's also like just buckle in.
I mean, it's frightening. Two years ago, almost, I went to amusement park up north, and I had not been on. Oh man, how old was I? Eighth grade maybe was the last time I went on a roller coaster, and here I am, 33 years old. You know, so it's been 15 years.
Yeah,
and we do that first drop, man, and I thought.
This is
I'm going to fly away and never come down. Cause that feeling is you're just lifting out of your seat. And I thought, I'm never coming down.
And that's the moment you knew foster care was for you.
I got this, baby. but the correlation is so real. I mean, you sit there, you think, I'm never coming down from this thing. Yeah. This is never going to change.
I found the same comfort. This sounds silly. And then we'll get to yours.
You found the same comfort taken on a roller coaster.
No, listen, maybe you're irrational like me, where I've had a little bit of a fear of flying in my life. It'll make sense.
Yeah, I'm listening.
I've had a fear of flying for a long time, and then I'm good now. I think I'm pretty cool. But because the
you should be a little bit scared of flying.
Yeah, especially on a Boeing. Someone said that online.
We're gonna have a current event section, dude. We're gonna
have a current online. Sometimes the Boeing CEO resigned. He said sometimes, you know, God closes a door, but a window flies off. I was like, that's pretty funny. Anyways, I found this that the panic, the worry of me on an airplane doesn't literally do anything.
No,
but make it worse for me. And for me, I always
you teach that lesson to my kids.
Yeah, maybe, dude. I couldn't even teach it to myself, barely. But in moments in which I'm scared on the plane, I look at the stewardess, the person serving a drink, and she's just like, this is normal, dude. We're good.
Yeah.
And if she's not freaking out, I probably shouldn't freak out. Yeah. If our caseworker's like, it's okay. Like,
yeah.
She's got so much more experience than I do that my worry doesn't actually add anything or help anything, really. It makes it worse for me.
Yeah.
So when you dive into this kind of work, there's no point. Yeah. It's valid to have an emotion. I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
But I'm also saying there's nothing to it.
I mean, it totally ties back to, man, I'm having so many flashbacks to previous episodes. Mm-hmm. And, but the, I mean, how do you prepare for foster care? And the answer is mentally, you can't prepare for scenarios, but you can prepare your heart. You can prepare your mind, you know, not as far as, you know, knowledge of what to do, but how to behave, how, you know, and just work on those tactics to calm your heart and be almost in graciously respond. I mean, that's a talent. That's a skill.
That's a good posture to have, graciously responsive.
Yeah. Because you cannot fully prepare because you don't know what's coming. Yeah. You know, you're on this pathway straight and all of a sudden it veers to the right. You know, and then it backtracks four steps, and then it's going forward. Then you're side shuffling. Kind of feels like the Cupid shuffle. Is that a slide to the left? That's foster care in a song right there. Slide to the right.
Yep. And everyone should do it. Okay. Let's move on. Okay, give me yours. What's one thing you wish you knew a year ago?
Yeah, that seasons change, times change, that you situations grow and change. I guess let me get the flowery language because I'm trying to figure out how to say this, but situations grow and change. And by that I mean it was about a year ago when they started presenting to us, hey, there's gonna be a termination of parental rights on the mom's behalf. You know, both the dads associated with our kids were already out of the picture. Mm-hmm. And they were saying, you know, would you guys consider adopting all four? And it was kind of one of those, oh crap moments because we were not prepared to be in that, less than a year in to be confronted with the fact that, hey, you guys, you know, are about to be parents of four. You live in a 2-bedroom house. Can you do this? And we're staring at these kids who, I mean, in hindsight, we had the younger ones for, you know, a good amount of time. And we were seeing the fruit of relationship, of, you know, consistency. And we'd seen how they had acted initially and then how they were now. And then you see the interactions that we were having with the older kids and it was disruptive and hard and uncertain. I mean, it's just uncertain. I mean, they did not see us as parental figures, as authority figures. They saw us as those people who came over on occasion and ate dinner.
Yeah.
And it was scary. I mean, then we started to do some visits where they would stay for a couple days at a time. And you're thinking at that time, we still had our former daughter. So we had five kids and you're thinking, no way could we ever manage this, you know? Yeah. And now I'm going to Costco with five kids.
Yeah. It's like whatever.
I
mean,
back in the day, it was a total chaos, unmanageable. But you get sucked into that moment where you think this is it.
Yeah.
It's going to be like this forever. You know, whether it's your kids having a screaming attack, that for me is sometimes I'm thinking, how long is this going to last? Yeah. This is going to last forever. You know, this kid's going to hate me forever. This is going to happen forever. And then it changes.
Yeah.
And then it grows. And And now, you know, we're at this point where, you know, one of the tightest, you know, early on, one of the hardest relationships that I had was with our oldest, because he has the most trauma.
Yeah.
He had an abusive dad. So if I even so much as get too noisy, get too loud, get too stern, not anymore, because we have a built relationship.
Yeah.
But initially, you know, even unprompted, he went into a panic attack where he was just screaming at me, trying to run out the front door. This was on one of his first overnight visits with us. And, you know, now him and I have one of the tightest relationships between myself and our children, because he, you know, is adult, is not adult. Yeah. He's old enough to be aware and communicative of his feelings and thoughts. And so, yeah, I mean, the situation changes and it grows. And I just remember distinctly thinking, no way, we're not going to be able to make it through this. And here we are. And then tonight, before I came over, the older two were with their biological grandpa. He's been awesome. And then Jessica was out at a work dinner, and I had the two younger kids. And again, I remember how hard two kids were initially, and now, I mean, it's a breeze. You know, it's having just two kids. Is so easy. Yeah. I mean, it's so funny. And I have a couple friends who are just, you know, that they feel at capacity with one baby, and here you are, you know, four kids,
No.
But my point is that changes, grows, that situation. You will grow, your kids will grow, everything will change, sometimes for the worse, sometimes for the better. Dude. But you know, it's not a straight line. It's up and down. It's a continuum.
That's an important thing to hear. I think your capacity changes.
Yeah.
That's something that I think people don't get enough credit to. We talked about this in another episode, full of callbacks today, but it's good for you to do something hard sometimes, because you grow.
Yeah.
Your capacity grows. And a lot of times the edge of yourself is just kind of the edge of your comfort. It's not necessarily the edge of you. And so I think sometimes the stretching, the like, oh, I never thought I could do this, but look at me do this.
Yeah. You mind if I ask one more question?
Yeah.
So right now we're looking at what we wish we knew a year ago. Mm-hmm. And I can't say, what do you wish you knew in a year? Because that's going to be such a crazy question. But what is something that you're learning right now that you think is going to be impactful for how you're viewing, you know, your current state? You know, so into something you're learning right now that you think will finally you'll grow into in the next couple of months, that you look back and think, oh man, I'm glad I'm learning that.
I mean, our situation with our daughter was pretty clear, pretty quick. And thankfully it played out the way we thought it would. But our situation now with little guy is a little different, in the sense that anything's on the table. And the answer really is, we'll see. And to know that the pain of giving a child back could be close. But what I wish, or what I could tell myself a year from now, kind of, is that it's still worth it.
Yeah.
It's not.
You'll get through it.
Yeah.
You'll learn it. You'll figure it out.
He's in our life no matter what.
Yeah.
And, you know, we may have what we want versus what's going to happen. And, you know, who knows? Maybe what we want is what will happen. But, you know, given all the situation and all the circumstances and details that you guys know, like, I hope that I would look back a year in the future to now and say, hey, no matter what happened, it was worth it, for the relationship that we will have for the future.
Yeah.
What about you? How do you answer that?
What am I working through right now that I think will bear fruit in a couple months? I asked you because I think.
Well, you're about to.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can I answer for you?
Dude, yeah, let's try that. And then maybe it'll spark a thought.
Well, because like you're in a situation walking into an adoption like we were.
Yeah.
And like looking back on all the random ambiguity and the soaking in these last moments, but also growing your capacity. There's a moment that happens when, just for whatever reason, that last name changes. And nothing has really other changed than legal documentation.
Sure.
But that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of things are just happening naturally. You know, I try to create, force, you know, assert my own.
Yeah. As we all do.
Yeah. Power on it. And then a lot of things happen. They happen naturally. Stuff is coming up in conversations, you know, with the kids. I was checking in our 8-year-old something the other day, and they're asking for last name. And I said, just put psych. Just put psych down. That's our last name, S-E-I-C-K. And
what's your social?
Just kidding. You know, my mother's maiden name, street address, street that I live.
Debit card.
all my key security questions. Yeah. But you know, and it's one of those moments that, again, I mean, 6 months ago, that was an awkward conversation, and it still comes up. He asked a couple weeks back. You know, am I still, if I come to be yours, am I still my mom's? You know, and those questions are hard. Again, I mean, you talk about stuff a 7-year-old and 8-year-old shouldn't be having. That's a tough conversation. But, some of this stuff just happens. And you try to create and force. But in the end, it works out.
Yeah.
And you focus on your heart and the condition that your heart, your mental state are in, and you focus on the kids and some of this stuff that, you know, you could write a script of how to say it. It doesn't match just the circumstances that you encounter.
That's cool.
So I think letting it happen is probably something I need to.
Yeah. Could you imagine someone that could walk into a situation and just be chill and go through it all? That'd be really nice.
I told Jessica, I said, you know, it's kind of a bummer because all of the stuff that we learned that's going to equip us for being future foster parents is right now.
It's
what I need. Like next time around, I'm going to be killing this, you know, but right now you're just learning on the fly.
Yeah. Well, so. And to bring it back to a full circle, this is why we're doing this. Is that maybe you can, if you're listening, maybe actually it's pretty exciting. A buddy DM'd me, kind of a friend of a friend of a friend, really. It was like, hey, we're stepping
in. Acquaintance?
Yeah.
Okay, like, sorry. Friend of a friend of a friend.
It's a future friend is what my brain would say. Is walking into foster care. It's like, hey, I had a buddy tell me to reach out to you. Would you get coffee? And I was like, 1,000%, dude.
Love it.
What time?
Love it.
Chipotle, because it's better than coffee. I could eat Chipotle every day. Chipotle, sponsor us.
I could drink coffee every day. Coffee, sponsor me.
Yeah. Coffee in general. Yeah. But that's like, we hope you listen to these episodes and you go, maybe I learned something that I didn't have to endure the physical toll of it.
Right. Fast forward the learning process and just have someone help you think the thoughts that could help change your heart. Yeah.
Okay. Good episode.
Yeah, dude.
Peace.
See ya.